Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are on this Gooner planet, and everyone's blood pressure is slowly coming down after that match at the Etihad. We did not lose. Thank the Lord for Easter Sunday that we did not lose. Anyway, welcome everyone. Thank you for joining us straight after the match. Pleased to say that my podcast brother is joining me. Young Cooks, how are you? Are you calm?
Yeah, glad that's over. Very, very glad that is over.
Honestly, they age me. That's all I'm going to say. And welcome back to the show, our lovely Mervyn. How are you doing? Or is that a silly question?
I'm kind of a bit calmer now. It's kind of like I there's something about the way the team plays that I feel very calm. I feel like we're going to get there in the end. And I don't know, 10 minutes to go, I was thinking, you know what? It's going to be nil-nil. It makes sense. It's kind of we weren't taking chances. Of course, every time the ball breaks to one of them in the box, you panic. But it's it's almost like it was managed to be like that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we would go into everything, obviously, and I'd like to say welcome to everybody in the chat room. Welcome to everybody that watches us through Twitter as well. We seem to have accumulated at least 400-500 of you there, which is fantastic. I mean, I feel like we've won because we haven't lost. I know it sounds a bit mental, but just listen up. I've been to the Etihad 4 times. I've seen us win once, and the rest of it, I've just seen us capitulate. And today, although it wasn't a great game, my motto is, if you can't win it, don't lose it. Is that right, Kirks?
Yeah, and I mean, I predicted 0-0 before
the game. I was going to say that. Yeah. You did. You were spot on. I predicted 2-2. You were the one that went 0-0. Well done. Yeah, why do you think that, though?
I just thought it was going to be really cagey. I remember the game back at the Emirates earlier on this season. It was a bit of a role reversal. City kind of played like we did today. And I really did think that we would probably line up in these two banks of four that we saw in the first half and just try and press in those key moments when we had opportunities to do so. And it was very much just attack versus defence. And I know that's not what people want to see. And a lot of people aren't particularly happy with that. And I think you've also got to factor in that this game came after the international break, which I think in some way, shape or form does have a bit of an impact on the intensity of the game. But I think we did all the right things today, to be honest. I would have liked to have seen us impose ourselves a little bit more. Because
We will go into all that. I think what we should do is get everybody's questions in because we're all going to be discussing the same thing. So please leave your questions. We'll star them and we'll come to them as we talk about that topic. But let's just start off, Cooks, with the team. Really important to see Saka back, really important to see Gabriel, because it was all these rumours, weren't there, that they weren't training, there was issues, but also important that Martinelli was on the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Saka came off later in the game. I'm not sure if that was due to the injury that we are led to believe he had going into the game, but I don't think he looked quite right today. I don't think he looked quite at himself. Maybe that's down to him having to do so much defensive work and he wasn't able to do what he does best. But I thought he just wasn't quite as sharp as he has been in the games leading up to the international break. But to have Gabriel back, I mean, that was the key one. When you look at the way we lined up today, had we not had him in the team, I really would have feared for us. But he was an absolute monster. I know Saliba got man of the match, but I think Gabriel was just as good, if not slightly better in some of those duels. The way he did a job on Haaland, I mean, he was impeccable. It's crazy.
Haaland, to be fair, Cooks, just throws himself around a lot. Look, and it's really hard because we're Arsenal fans, of course, and we see things differently. My City mate said, you came for a draw, you time wasted, you threw yourself to the ground, you should have had many yellow cards. I can only see one yellow card, actually. I thought Rice should have got one in the first half, but the rest of them. But, you know, we are very myopic. Of course we are. Because we're watching our own team and we're not seeing what they're seeing. But Raya did get booked for time wasting. So it must have been going on. I just didn't notice it. Mervyn, did you think that we set up right? I mean, for the first 20 minutes, I was quite disappointed, if I'm honest. But it's really weird because on social media, I am Mrs. Negative and I get told off for being negative. I am Mrs. Positive. And I get told off sometimes that I'm too positive and I see too much of, well, if we lose on to the next game, and I get told off, I say one negative thing today, like it would be nice if we turned up. And I've had, well, I'd say 50-50 comments, 50% agreed, 50% went for me. And it was quite weird because I literally have said one negative thing in months and it is like that. But I do feel that we didn't play that well. But am I seeing it wrong? Let's just talk about the first 20 minutes, say.
I personally think we did what we had to do. It was pragmatic. We went up there not to lose. Yeah. And we went up there to make sure City didn't beat us. If we look at ourselves against City, we have the slight advantage, I know. Although I know a lot of the pundits who obviously don't want Arsenal to win the league keep saying about we've got the harder run-in. But I mean, none of the run-in's easy. But I thought it was a very mature, pragmatic performance not to lose. And to go up there and do that, I think shows a sign of maturity. It shows, you know, because we've still got some very young players there. And I thought it was a mature performance. They obviously had a game plan and they stuck to it. And it kind of, you know, I mean, yeah, I was nervous a lot of the time. But, you know, last 10 minutes or so, I thought I just couldn't see it. You know, I thought, you know, we've come for a draw. We're going to get it. And, you know, they haven't scored. In fact, in the three games against us this season, they've scored once. And the player that scored against us now plays for Chelsea. So it's kind of like we're kind of almost turning. You know, they've had the number over us for the last three, four seasons. It's kind of hopefully beginning to turn the other way.
Well, a lot of comments in the chat room, and thank you for all your comments, and I promise you I'll get as many as I can up. Joshua Page, welcome to the show. We kept City scoreless at the Etihad for the first time in 2.5 seasons. It says something, doesn't it, Cooks, about our maturity, maybe, and the fact that last year it was 100% men against boys. I didn't feel that today, did you?
No, not at all. I mean, it's 57 home games consecutively that City have scored in, which is mental to think that we've managed to stop them doing that today. But, you know, I think when you look at the game overall, can you name one really good City chance? I can't. I mean, they had that Ake chance from the corner. Apart from that, I can't think of any time that they opened us up. I think we arguably had the better chances. I mean, I can think of Jesus's one in the first half. He you know, arguably had two half chances as well. Had that Trossard opportunity in the second half where he could have squared it to Martinelli. This was a really good Arsenal performance, I think. And to have taken 4 points off the treble-winning team, to have beaten them in the Community Shield, to have not allowed them to score a single goal against us in the Premier League. I mean, it should fill us with confidence that even if we do get past Bayern Munich in the next round of the Champions League, if we get City, if they beat Madrid, we definitely can get past this side. So I'm really encouraged by what I've seen. But I think, as one of the comments said in the chat room as well, it's really important now that we don't let Liverpool... Yeah, exactly that one. We don't let Liverpool run away with the league title because they've got a favourable run-in. I mean, looking at their games, their toughest one is probably Villa away from home. Apart from that, I would expect them to win every single other one. So we've just got to be there for that moment when they do slip up. And I think, you know, looking at Spurs away, United away, we have to look at those games as being winnable, because this is the only time that I think we're going to play this way. I don't see us playing it, this type of football in any other game in the Premier League for the remainder of the season. Bayern Munich away, maybe. But even then, I think we can have the beating at them at the Allianz. But this type of football where we're back against the walls, trying to catch a team on the counter, I don't see us doing any remaining Premier League game.
I'm just going to put this up. Amanda, you're always negative in your predictions and how we play. I'm not negative in how we play. Absolutely not. I just felt the first 20 minutes today, we just let them have the ball. But it is City and I appreciate that. And I'm negative in my predictions because I'm a worrier. So I never like to put... anytime I think we're going to win. I went for 2-2 today. I don't think that's very negative. But Tony, you know, you're appreciate your comment. And I'll always put negative and positive stuff up about me and any of our guests, Cooks and James, as well as positive stuff. So everyone in the chat room, I can see that you're all feeling quite positive, which is great. And you should be. We are literally a point ahead of City and 2 behind Liverpool. And if I'd have said that to you at Christmas, Mervyn, when we couldn't hit a barn door, when we're absolutely useless. Do you remember from Christmas up to when we played Liverpool, when we lost? If I'd have said that to you, would have gone on this run. 31st of March, we're going to be second, 2 points behind the leaders, a point ahead of City. I think you'd have thought I'd have been on the funny stuff.
Probably, yeah. I mean, that run, particularly those two Christmas games with West Ham and Fulham, I mean, were pretty poor. And then obviously Liverpool in the cup. It's interesting because I was lucky enough to get a ticket for West Ham away, and that is almost like, I suppose, the start of this run that we've recently had. And it felt so different that day. Everything was united, the team, the fans. They, yes, I know we scored 6, but I mean, it seemed like there was, you know, it felt like the bad Christmas was over and this was the running. And obviously we've done it a few times. Again, we didn't concede today. So I think it's almost like that those games, and particularly, I think, you know, West Ham, Fulham, and probably the Liverpool FA Cup game, we got that out of the system. There's obviously this renewed kind of determination. And I think that we are just, you know, we're going all out for it. Now, I appreciate Liverpool have got a couple of points advantage now, but it's, you're not going to, you know, again, it's every season, you know, at this stage you think, oh, well, they're 2 points clear now, that they're not playing anybody big, but they are, because they're playing teams that are fighting relegation. They're playing teams that want to get into Europe. They'll get injuries. They've got European games. So it's kind of, I think it's very open. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if we go into the final game or two with all three teams still able to win the league.
Oh, we'd take that now. Yeah. Let's just change subject just slightly, because I do not want to miss this out. I want to say congratulations to women on winning the Conti Cup. And I also like Caden's message when he says, shows how zen I am when it comes to Arsenal, when I was casually switching between the two, which is lovely to hear that we won the Conti Cup. So it's fabulous. Well done to the women. And I would never have forgotten that, everyone. I've written it down here. But something else as well is, I want to just touch on something you mentioned and I'd written down, Cooks. The international break. We've come back. I don't think Saka looks 100% fit, but you have to start him. He limped off. People are saying, oh, he's really injured. We don't know. We've got Luton at 7:30 on Wednesday evening, and now it comes thick and fast. Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday. I think then it's Saturday. It's non-stop. We need our players fit. We need Martinelli back, and I'm glad he came on as well. But just talk to me about Saka and what you think may be going on, because I didn't feel he was that great today, and we love Saka, don't we?
Yeah, I think it was just a bit of a hangover from his withdrawal from the England squad and that potential injury that we know he's been nursing for a little while now. But I think looking at the bigger picture, we've just got to start using the squad that bit more. I think the guys that came on today, Partey and Tomiyasu, they're two guys that I'd be looking to start at home to Luton. I still think Partey's a little bit rusty, but I thought Tomiyasu, when he came on, was excellent today. So I would have no worries throwing him in against Luton, particularly when, you know, you've got, you know, someone like Kivior, who's played God knows how many minutes for Poland, come back, played again today, really intense game. We just have to start managing the players, using the squad that little bit more, I think. Even looking at someone like Zinchenko, he, you know, it doesn't feel like he's played for a while. We could play him at home to Luton. I don't want to say risk-free, but certainly it's a game where we'll dominate the ball and it could be a bit of a Zinchenko game. So I think we've just got to start making those sensible rotations, not throwing in five or six changes each match, but, you know, making one or two here and there. And then around the halftime mark, 60th minute mark, depending on the game state, just make a couple of sensible changes, get players involved. Let's see, you know, a bit more of someone like Fabio Vieira, Emil Smith Rowe, the guys that came on today. I think we're more than capable of trusting these players. You look at our bench today, I thought it was fantastic. So, yeah, Saka, obviously a bit of a worry. I personally think he'll be fine. I'd be amazed if he's not in the squad for the game against Luton. But, yeah, I just think it's time to start using the team that bit more.
And yes, I think we do need to. We've got a lot of games, haven't we, Mervyn? And there is something that people are talking about as well. Sky gave Saliba man of the match. Who was your man of the match out of interest? Because obviously Deschamps said Saliba's not for him by the sounds of things. And Daniel Jesse, France loss is definitely our gain in respect of Saliba, which I totally agree. I don't want any of our players playing international. I'd rather them all come home and stay with Arsenal. Sorry, I'm all over the place this afternoon because I am so stressed through that game that literally jumped on here. My brain is all over the place. I do actually feel like we've won because we haven't lost. I'm going to calm. Go on, Mervyn.
I think it was Gary Neville that gave Saliba man of the match.
Yeah.
And I've forgotten who the co-commentator, who was it? Was it Carragher? I can't remember. He was saying it could have been Gabriel as well. So
Peter Drury, wasn't it?
I thought everybody was strong. I thought that, you know, we weren't going to be. We clearly went up there not to lose, and we went up there to not put in a free flowing, you know, not a 5-0 like run of 4, 5, 6 that we had, but just to actually show we will not be beaten. And if you think back a year to when we lost 4 up there, it was a measure for them to see how we've improved. You know, this isn't the Arsenal team of last season. This is a different Arsenal team. And I think there is a real determination there. I mean, you can see it from the start. At the beginning, I was hoping for some free-flowing attacking and to go 2 up or something. But as the game went on, it was like, you know, I kept feeling that, you know, we're not going to lose today. We're going to kill this game, hold it at 0-0. Maybe, who knows, in the last few minutes. As you say, there's a concern with Saka. Obviously, we've got Trossard. Gabriel Jesus is back. Probably needs a couple more games before he's on top form. Martinelli coming back is important, particularly with the pace. So I think that we're getting back to a full squad. And I just think that it's... Yeah, we've got a big run of games and, you know, we've got kind of banana skins for us, like, you know, Brighton away next week. And then we've got Villa and then a couple of games after we've got Chelsea at home. So they're going to be tough games. But I think that's why it was important today not to lose, but to put in a very strong defensive performance. You know, none of those defenders were getting beaten. I think Saliba probably man of the match. He was a leader today. Gabriel as well, you know, was taking no nonsense from Haaland. We made it plain from the start. You know, it was kind of that I was a bit concerned because I know you never know with referees with Taylor, but Haaland loves to, you know, he loves to win things. He loves to win free kick. He loves to put it in the mind of the referee that he's being pushed and around all the time.
But and he's did not. That.
They didn't fall for it today, and neither Saliba or Gabriel were taking any nonsense from it.
And just going on that, Cooks, we all dreaded the fact that Anthony Taylor was refereeing today. However, I thought he was very fair during the whole game. As I said, I think only Rice should have got a yellow. The rest, I thought they were just diving everywhere. And I thought doing that to the referee, you're not allowed to do that anymore. But obviously at the Etihad, you're allowed if you're dressed in blue. And I think booking Raya for time wasting is good to see. Not because he's our player, but I don't like time wasting. However, when it's your player and your game plan 100% is not to lose at the Etihad, it is for them to beat us. And my City friends who are messaging me while I'm sitting on this podcast going on and on, sorry, it's down to you to beat us. If a team comes for a draw, can you blame them? You are the champions. How did you think the referee played out, Cooks, today?
Well, I mean, it was a bit like when we came up against Porto away from home, except we were Porto this time. It was quite nice to have the roles reversed a little bit and to see how much you can frustrate an opposition and just allow them, if you're disciplined, to be completely nullified. And Anthony Taylor, I definitely think, let us have the rub of the green at times, particularly in that first half. There are a lot of early challenges going in. City, I do think they went down very easily at times, but rotational fouling is something that is their bread and butter. They do it all the time. You know, and we've had it done a million times against us this season. So for us to be a bit smart with it and for Taylor not to be too rash of his cards, I really like that moment in the first half where I think it was Jesus' second foul where he just said to him, look, just keep your head. You know, I think that was really good refereeing. And obviously, we're probably being quite biased and City fans almost certainly have a different take on it. But it was very refreshing to see a referee just let the game play out at times. You know, it didn't always go in our favour. There were a couple of times as well where I felt we should have had fouls and Taylor just let the game, you know, carry on. Or I felt like, you know, we had someone like Havertz fouls, but then it ended up going in the opposite direction. City got the free kick. So I don't think it was entirely smooth sailing for us, but it was definitely one of the better or more free-flowing refereeing performances that we've seen so far this season. So yeah, credit to him.
Because if he would have booked in the first 10 minutes, it would have ruined the game. There'd have been untold yellows everywhere. And also, just going back to David Raya, I wanted to mention that Ruth Beckart sponsors us. And just look at this fantastic picture she drew. Look at that. I love Raya. I love that picture. And just some of the bits that she sells on her Etsy shop. And because you all listen to this podcast, if you go and type in thank you in capitals, you're going to get 10% off her stuff. This is her lucky bag that with lots of goodies in it. It's like a lucky bag. Not a lucky bag, you know what
mystery?
I mean? Like, mystery bag. Thank you, Kix. Thank you for saving me. And her, what are these called? Oh,
are those fridge magnets or are they temporary tattoos?
Either. She does both. That could be the tattoo because this could be the fridge magnet.
That's the tattoo. Other way around. Yeah, there
you could have a North London Forever tattoo on you and that's temporary. How fabulous is that? Go and check her out, ruthbeckart.com or on her Etsy shop as well. She's our sponsor. We love her. She's got the most amazing artwork. And yeah, just wanted to show you all some of her bits that she does. Let's just get back to the match and some questions and things and everything we've got. Okay, interesting. Let's just talk about Raya because Steve Stone said Raya's distribution was off today, unfortunately. We went long ball, didn't we, Mervyn, quite a bit? Mm.
We did. I think that was the plan because it seemed to be not a tactic, but I think what we didn't want was to start trying to play out and get caught. City are very good at catching you and swarming you, and then suddenly you've got, you know, three against two and you're under pressure. And I think it was, I'm guessing, I might be wrong, Super Mick might listen to this tomorrow and say that guy just doesn't know what he's talking about. But please God, he listens to it tomorrow. But it seemed to be a tactic to get the ball away and down the other end as quickly as possible to kind of not attract the pressure. And to put players under that pressure of trying to play out when you've got two City players on them. So I think it worked. It didn't make for a free-flowing game, and it probably didn't give us the opportunity for any of those quick break transitions that we like to do. But I think, you know, we gave that up for kind of not putting ourselves under pressure.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm just going to put this up here. Adam, I'm not sure what you mean when you've said Stones, Walker and then Aki, three of their best start and four defenders, and we took a point mentality. Does he mean that's not a good mentality to have because we're pleased with the point, Cooks? Or does he mean that it's a good mentality? Because I can't criticise Arsenal today for getting a point at the Etihad.
I think what Adam means is just because they had a couple of injuries at the back that maybe we should have imposed ourselves a bit more. And I'm inclined to agree in that sense. I would have liked to have seen us take the game to Man City and maybe open it up a little bit. But I do think we were erring on the side of caution And if we lost this game, that would have been quite detrimental for us, whereas a point is, you know, very, very good for us. Obviously, winning it and showing a bit more ambition would have been great. We'd have loved to have done that. But looking at, you know, taking things into perspective, we've won 8 games this year, drawn 1, yeah, taken 4 points off the treble winners. I don't think we can complain. But I do see the point. But when you look at the players they brought in for those guys, I mean, you've got Guardiol, you've got Akanji, Rico Lewis came on and was very good. They've still got Ruben Dias in there. I mean, that's still a very expensive back line. So it's not as if they didn't have options there to bring in and replace those guys. So I don't think we can complain at all. But I agree. I would have liked to have seen us do a bit more up top at the other end of the pitch. But we still had our chances. We just couldn't put them in the back of the net on the day.
Yeah, and also, I'm sort of with Shane Styles here when he says, as Mourinho used to say, win at home and draw away against your rivals. We're certainly at the top table and we deserve to be there. That is for sure now. Last year was, for me, was a freak. We didn't expect to be there. We enjoyed it. It was upsetting at the end. But now we mean business. To go to the Etihad, this year we haven't lost in the Premier League. I mean, we're the end of March already. We haven't lost in the Premier League. So I can't be upset, I'm afraid. You know, even though they had their injuries, De Bruyne, Haaland, Rodri, I mean, the list is endless, and I thought their defence was really good. Just one situation I thought maybe we should have done better on, and there was a mention of it. One second, I'm sorry. This is from, sorry, one moment, everyone. Charles Cheerian. Anyone jumped out of their seat during that Trossard transition? Square ball or acute angle shot, which was the better decision? I was screaming for him to pass. I think, Mervyn, was it Havertz in the box on his own?
Martinelli.
Martinelli.
Oh, it was Martinelli. I thought it was Martinelli on the ball. I was getting myself in yeah, such a state. But it was Trossard on the ball and Martinelli
who'd just come on. It's kind of, yeah, we didn't score from it, so it's easy to say he should have done the other. I would have expected him to cut in and pass it to Martinelli. So I think that would, I can see somebody you're highlighting there, Sonny, about Arteta looked annoyed. He did. I think that could have been the moment. To be fair, it was, you know, the fact we could still break, the fact we just brought Martinelli on, that gave them something else to think about. Trossard is quick. Martinelli's even quicker. Martinelli scored the winner against them back in October. So it would have been great to turn that movement into a goal, but it was a sign that you know, they couldn't go gung-ho because we now had those two up front.
No, it's true. Arteta's just come out and said, a really competitive match, as you can imagine. We made another big step today. They have the capacity to change formations to get you in deep in many moments. They're very physical, but I think we coped that very well. I think we had the best situations. We were really aggressive at times and getting the ball into great areas. The way we competed individually and as a team was phenomenal. Individually, you have to be at your best. I think it's 2021 since they hadn't scored a goal here at the Etihad. It was a really tough test for us today. We wanted to win, but when you cannot win, you must not lose. And that's how I started this podcast, before I knew he said anything, because that is the mentality you have to have. You're not going to be able to win every game, okay? It's so true. And I think that comes from my George Graham days, Mervyn, you know, of 1-0 to the Arsenal, or just don't lose the game.
I think he listened to the beginning of this and he loved that line so much he used it in his interview.
That's going to be the heading on our audio. You can't win it, don't lose it. Oh, dear. So I'm just trying to calm down and stuff. And happy Easter Sunday to everybody everywhere. I felt Cooks with Jesus involved in everything, but did nothing. I think I don't want to be too unfair because I do love him and he has come back from injury. But is that a fair reflection or do you disagree with what I've said?
I think it's harsh to say he did nothing. I thought he was definitely involved in a lot of the good things that we did going forward, and in those moments where we just needed to keep the ball and not allow City to press us, to jump on us in transition, I thought he was really good at just holding the ball up, creating opportunities. It was just the classic case of Gabriel Jesus does all the hard work and then can't finish his dinner. I think it was slightly different in this case. They weren't exactly clear-cut chances. That first one he had where it
just went wide
to the post, but then that other one where he beats like three City players and then just didn't have the shot. It's just like, please, you don't have to beat another man. You don't have to prove that you can beat all these guys. Just take the shot on earlier. It was, frustrating to watch, but that is Gabriel Jesus. You know exactly what you're getting with him. But I think pre-game, that was the right decision to start him. And then I think Trossard coming on was the right substitution to make. And I think had Martinelli been fully fit, he probably would have come on instead of Trossard. But, you know, we still got to see a bit of him when Saka came off. So I can't complain. It's Jesus' first start in a good while. So I think it was a good outing from him. And I wouldn't be fussed if he started again against Luton, because I really think he needs a goal, an assist, something. But he's looking sharp. He looks a lot better than he did pre-international break, I thought.
Didn't Gary Neville talk about them bringing Nketiah on at one point?
Yeah, he mentioned him. Yeah, he did. And me and Carl went, no.
yeah, that's what I thought. But it's kind of, it was interesting because he said about more pace up front. Yeah. So I don't know if he felt maybe if we had a faster forward, it would cause more problems for City. I don't know. It was interesting because I wouldn't have thought Eddie was a player that would be on his radar as a commentator, but he was.
No, and it's interesting, Daniel Jesse, so just talking about subs, I like how Arteta waited for City to show their hand in terms of subs. So, Mervyn, do you think... I love Arteta. I'm a little bit rose-tinted glasses. I think he's improving game by game. And obviously, there are times when you're screaming for a sub. But I felt today he just did the subs at the right time and the right subs. Although, I do feel people have been a little bit unfair on Jorginho. It's been absolutely incredible for us the last few months. It's a very different game today. But do you think Partey, Trossard, strong bench, wasn't it?
It was. We've got pretty much all our players back who we need. I think it was good to see Partey come on. I was a little bit concerned because the one time he has started recently, he didn't look to be quite on it, albeit he wasn't on for long. But there seemed to be some control there. And it was, he picked the right passes and the right runs at the right time. So I think it was good to see him back. Jorginho has been fantastic. Declan Rice is fantastic. It's just, it's so fantastic to have him.
just on that, Mervyn. As I said, my City mate was there and he was sending me some pictures of the Arsenal fans. He was right by them. And the one thing he said, and he does not praise Arsenal at all, he's a proper City, fan. He said, Declan Rice is awesome. For my City mate to comment on one of our players, we know this.
Yeah.
But I felt first half, he was absolutely awesome.
Yeah. It's fantastic to have him.
And that's off the back of 180 minutes of England, isn't it?
Yeah, yes.
It's not bad going.
Love that boy. Cooks, shame that Ødegaard was a bit off his usual game. Many chances missed. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I thought he was the one guy that was a little bit under par today. I really felt like his final ball a lot of the time, it just didn't seem to be working for him. But the one ball he did put through was that one to Trossard, which on another day could have resulted in something better. So he still had something up his sleeve. But I do think, potentially where you look at someone like Declan Rice, where the international break doesn't faze him, he can play 180 minutes. I think with Ødegaard, notoriously after the international break, his first game back isn't always the strongest. Don't think he was bad today. Thought he works really hard, led the press at times, gave his all, but just that his technique was off rather than his work rate. But like I say, he did have that one killer ball. It's just a shame we couldn't have done something better with it at the end.
I think it's interesting with him because he's the captain, he's the leader. And I'm guessing that Arteta, certainly in the hour or two before the game when he does his talks and everything, was probably imposing on him that he has to be the leader today. He has to lead. Yeah, he has to set the example. It did seem to me in the first half he's trying to do everything. He was trying to really marshal the defence, kind of win the midfield, try and get the attack going. And maybe it was a bit much. He seemed to be doing a lot more in the first half. And I didn't know if that was maybe him being, I suppose, the leader who is trying to show the team what they've got to do. Maybe the responsibility he felt today.
Yeah, No. Okay, everybody, you are listening and watching the Same Old Arsenal podcast. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell button. Because if you hit the bell button, you're never going to miss a show. And we're doing loads of shows. We are the Arsenal coming thick and fast. We're coming thick and fast. Cooks and I did a show on Good Friday morning, the preview to this. And we were all quite buzzy, weren't we, Cooks? I still feel, I actually had a little jump in my step when I was coming up to log on to the PC. Because we've just got a point at the Etihad. Yeah, it's like, regardless of the game or anything that's gone on, we've got a point at the Etihad, and I'm just so pleased because it's been a long time coming. Okay, let's go to some questions. Right. Barry Byrne, I'm going to leave this for you, Mervyn. What sort of rotation, if any, would you do for Luton midweek?
My first thought is to do none, to let them go again. But secondly, I think it makes sense to... I mean, if Gabriel Martinelli is fit, then I maybe start him. I could see us maybe starting Trossard. I don't know if maybe we'd have Saka off the bench because I wasn't 100% sure he was ready today. Jesus probably needs to play himself in a bit. So I can see the attack, and possibly Luton's a game where we might see Eddie at some stage. So I think we've got that. I mean, I think the midfield, I think, has to stay. So, I mean, I can't see him doing very much in midfield, possibly starting Thomas Partey now instead of Jorginho. The defence is the back five, and I suspect it, except for, God forbid, injury, that will be the back five.
What's your prediction for it? Let's do that.
For Luton? Mm. I'm expecting to win. 3-1.
Okay. Anything to add to the rotation, Cooks, and your prediction, please? And guys in the chat room, your prediction?
The first one that springs to mind is I would be looking to take Kivior out for this one. Not because I think he's been poor, but because he's played so many minutes in recent weeks. So either Tomiyasu or Zinchenko in at left back, I'd be absolutely fine with either of them. I expect us to dominate the ball at home to Luton. So whether it's Zinchenko, whether it's Tommy, I think it's relatively risk-free. Then in midfield, I don't think today was a game for Jorginho because we were so up against it. But I'd be fine with him starting again in that game. But equally, I want to see Thomas Partey get some minutes. So that would maybe be a slight change I'd make there. But Rice, Ødegaard, they stay in the team. Jesus has to continue playing, I think. Maybe it's one where you take Kai Havertz out from centre-forwards, and if Martinelli's fit, you could line up with a front three of Jesus, Martinelli, Saka, the front three that we saw so often last season. So, yeah, there's options there, but I don't want to make too many wholesale changes. I wouldn't be looking to make more than two. You know, I've made quite a lot of options there, but I think Arteta is sensible enough to make just two and then just use players off the bench if we're in a winning position. I don't think this will be as free-flowing as some of the games that we saw pre-international break. Luton caused Spurs some problems yesterday. I'm going to go for a 2-0.
Well, everyone in the chat room, as you can see, is going for that. So, Cooks, you are 2-0. I've gone 2-1. I think it's not going to be as easy as we think. There's someone in the chat room that just said something about Declan. Arsenal looked tired in the end. Rice playing a lot lately. There is that. There was something else that Saliba said. Apparently, he's exhausted. He came off the pitch and said he's exhausted. I don't think I starred it. Sorry, but I saw that. We are going to be exhausted, mentally exhausted. Also, you know, Easter Sunday, they've got to get back tonight. Then Monday, Tuesday. It's not a lot of time for recovery. Hard fought game. So Nigel Plum thinks 2-1 to Luton. Oh, 2-1 to Arsenal, sorry. That's my prediction as well. Let's go to a few more questions. Oh, okay. Ryan Plays, welcome to the show. What team do you think will slip away from the title race? Us, City or Liverpool, Cooks?
None. I think it's going to go right down to the wire.
Mervyn, do you agree?
I was about to say none. It will go down to the last game of the season.
Totally agree. Oh, please, God. I mean, I don't know how my nerves are going to... play out. I don't know how our nerves are going to cope in the next few months.
I mean, having said that, obviously, we don't know injuries. We don't know if, God forbid, one of the three teams is going to have a major player injured or something.
Okay. Carl Stark, Thank you, Carl. Thank you for your Arteta quote as well. Who gained more from today's result, Cooks? Liverpool, Arsenal or City?
Well, on paper, Liverpool, and like we said at the start of the show, you know, it's in their hands now. Their toughest game is probably Villa away from home. Obviously, they've got United away next week. I'd expect them to beat them, but I think they've definitely got the easiest run in. So, as long as they keep finding ways to win games, they're in a, you know, a healthy position. So, on paper, them. But I think mentally, for us, it's definitely a good result for us. I think City are the ones out of the three to have had the worst result this weekend.
Mervyn, anything to add to that?
I feel I should, but no, I think he nailed it there. I mean, it's kind of, yeah, I agree. It was Liverpool, and I'm sure the media will say, ah, it's Liverpool's weekend because Arsenal and City dropped points. But it's with the games coming, and all three teams have got European games as well. And the European games are getting harder. I know Liverpool are in a weaker competition, but they still, when you get to the final kind of 8 and 4, they're still strong teams. So I think that it's I think it will go into the final week with all three teams in with a chance. And well, just fingers crossed it's us.
Well, just sort of on that theme, Stephen Richards said, it's a much worse result for City than us at home and now 3 points behind Liverpool. I think City had to win more than us. I sort of get what he's saying. Mm. I think that on the last question, it's wonderful for Liverpool. Absolutely. This is what they would have wanted. But it's wonderful for us as well. It's not terrible for us. It would have been incredible if we'd have won it, of course. But, and I am exactly like this guy says as well. Sorry, where is he? The Charlie George. I prefer Arsenal chasing. I absolutely do. Last year we didn't chase. We're on top of the tree. So, Charlie, I'm with you on that. Absolutely. William Saliba has come out and said, Gabriel is good. He helps me a lot. Not only him, but all the team. When we lose the ball, everyone runs back. I think we all defend well, and that's good. We have to keep going like this. He also said, we cannot be satisfied when we draw, but it's okay. We learn from some games. When we cannot win, we must not lose. Oh, my God, they're all listening to me. That's what we did well. So we leave with 1 point. We are not satisfied. I think it's more in our heads because we know they are the best team in the world. We have to be focused all the game. We did well. We didn't concede. We didn't score, but we are happy. I love that. I think that is a mature statement from our Saliba, that's for sure. Right, we've got so many other questions and we're logging off soon. Let's just see. Okay, Karen Russell. Do you think there will be any repercussions for City with all the crowding of the referee? Well, I'm saying no straight away, but
no.
Boys, anything to add?
No.
Unfortunately not, because it's City. I absolutely believe that. I've done that question. Sorry. Right. Ryan plays. What three positions do you think we need to improve in the summer to the squad? Mervyn, I'll go with you.
Oh. Well, I'm guessing just from what I suppose I see in everything, a central striker is there. I don't know. I mean, I think that... Jorginho, it looks like, will go. I think we might need another defensive midfielder. I don't know what's going to happen with Thomas Partey. I mean, obviously, he's missed most of the season. And it's possibly, you know, I think he would be good for us for the run-in, but I think we probably need, if I say younger, I don't mean that in a nasty way, but a more of a kind of, a mobile defensive midfielder to dovetail with Declan Rice and Martin Ødegaard. I suppose we're going to need a number two goalie as well. Because I'm guessing, you know, I can't believe Aaron Ramsdale will be... I'm sure they'd like to keep him on, but Aaron Ramsdale is good enough to play for any, you know, be the number one for any Premiership side, so...
Yeah, okay. Cooks, one or two, if you think of anyone.
Winger, centre forward, striker. Those three.
Back up for Saka, centre midfield and striker. That's what for you. I'm just reading some people in the chat room. Okay, that's fantastic. Right. Arteta on Saka. He's been out for a few weeks now with a little problem. He went out with fatigue. Guardiola said we couldn't create much. It was almost moments. We tried.
Oh, that's cute.
Bless him. Karen Russell said, sorry, but going to disagree slightly with Merv, but I think Jorginho will stay, and I do as well. And okay. I hope he
I mean, I'd like him to stay, but I thought I was reading that he would leave. So it's kind of, I mean, I'd like him to stay, but I thought it might be his decision. So I'm happy for Karen and for you, PG, to disagree with me.
Right, a couple more and then we're going to go. Karen Russell, 4 points taken off both City and Liverpool shows real progress. What do you think, Merv?
Yes. I mean, compared to last season, yes. And I think the fact that, you know, we've taken 4 points off of both and are almost a bit, you know, kind of pissed off we didn't take six from both, I think. So it's kind of, it you know, we've come a long way. I mean, I was at the Etihad for that 5-0 three seasons ago. And it's, I didn't think that in 2 seasons time, I wasn't there today, obviously, but we'd be back there and kind of going toe to toe with them the way we did today. So I think it's all going in the right direction.
It is, isn't it, Kirks? It's I feel more positive that this season we're maturing.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the big games, we've been stellar. Absolutely fantastic. But if we don't go on to win the league, which is, you know, by no means a foregone conclusion yet, it's going to be those games against Fulham and West Ham that we'll look back at. It won't be these games. These are the games where we've done really well. It's those silly ones against Fulham and West Ham around Christmas that will be our undoing.
Yeah.
Sorry to sound negative.
Oh, dear. Well, Easter Sunday. You can all go and eat your Easter eggs now, because I'm sure none of you ate during that match. How stressful that was. All go and have your dinner. But I'd like to thank Mervyn for coming on the show. And I would just like to say that I love this. This is a lovely positive from Neil Thomas. And that's how we're going to end the show. I don't think Arsenal will lose another Premier League game this season, and we will win this league. Mervyn, do you agree or not? And then I'm going to let you go and have your dinner.
Well, of course I agree. but I kind of, I'm a realist, but no, I of course I believe we can. And you know, it will be, I won't be disappointed if we don't, because I can see the progress from last season. But yeah, I think we can.
Cooks, are you I mean, look, I'm always of the notion that we should just take each game as it comes. I'm looking at Luton, I'm not thinking of anything else, but I think if we had to have a game 3 days later, thank God it's at home and against not like a Tottenham or a United or something like that. No disrespect to Luton, because they're playing well, a bit better now. So are you of the mindset that maybe we should on our next pod do how many points we're going to get from the next 5 games?
No, let's not do that. Let's just see how things go.
Me and you got it right last time. So.
No, I'm not doing that. Not at this point in the season, not when there's so few games left. I think, yeah, just take it each game at a time. But this was our toughest test in our remaining games. And we've gotten through it we have got it through unscathed. We've not lost the game. We've not conceded. And we can leave our heads held high and look at our next 2 games. You know, we've got Luton at home. We've got Brighton away that can't keep clean sheets. There are 2 games there that we should be winning. And even if you're looking at games against the likes of Spurs away, they've not kept a clean sheet at home since October. United away conceded, 31 shots to Brentford last night. You have to win those games if you want to win the league. No excuses.
Yep. Yeah.
So there won't be a tougher game than this. Got to win them.
True. Yep, totally agree. So, Mervyn, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Happy Easter to you and your family.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. We love having you on this show, and so do our, I was going to say clientele, honestly, my brain. Our viewers, our listeners.
Yes,
gooners.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I like Cooks, same for you. Right, so we don't know when we're back, but what should everybody do, Cooks?
What should they do? First of all, they should follow Ruth Beckart and check out her Etsy page and take advantage of the 10% off. Please make sure you go and do that. But then once they've done that, they should come straight over to YouTube, subscribe. Then they should go over to Apple Music, subscribe on there. Then over to Spotify. Then over to Amazon Music, subscribe on there. Leave us a review. Do all of that. You know, put a day aside. Make sure you do it all. I'm only kidding. Just like the video. That's all it will take.
No, they've got to hit the bell. And
remember, the bell.
If you're second in the league, you need to subscribe and hit our bell. And if you're second in the league on audio, you need to press the star thing, whatever it is. Thank you for all your lovely comments. From us at the Same Old Arsenal podcast, we wish you a happy Easter. thank God that game is over and we can now relax and enjoy our bank holiday tomorrow, because boy, has that been stressful. Thank you for all your fantastic comments from us to you. As I always say, what do I always say, Cooks? Do you know what you can say?
What do you always say, Amanda? Up the Arsenal.
Yeah. I'm so disappointed in you.
Always Arsenal. I've done
always
it wrong.
Always Arsenal, right.
I say up the Arsenal. God.
We will see you probably post-game Brighton, another game. But we're going to go and steamroll Luton at the Emirates on Wednesday night. And it's 7:30 kickoff, and I thought it was 8 o'clock. So it's 7:30 kickoff at the Emirates. I'll be there. Cooks will be there. Mervyn, unfortunately, can't go at the moment.
I'll be watching it.
Yeah, you'll be watching it. Our other podcast brother will be there as well. Happy Easter. I've said it a few times. We got a point at the Etihad. If you can't win, don't lose. Good night, everyone.
Sports Social Podcast Network.